We have been, for the past several weeks, working our way through the sixth chapter of John's Gospel. And it is a tedious journey, and we are not finished yet. But it began, you may remember, with the story of Jesus feeding 5,000 on a hillside with a very small amount of food. A well-known story to us all. Then Jesus and his disciples traveled even more. And people approached them asking for yet another sign. You showed these people on the hillside a sign with the food. Show us a sign. Show us yet another sign. And Jesus responded by teaching them, explaining to them, I am the bread of life. I am the sign you are seeking. It is within me. And so today, yet another portion of John's sixth chapter. If you are able to stand, would you do so in order to receive the gospel? I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Those who followed Jesus were asking him for a sign. You've shown signs before to people that you are who you say you are, that you are the remarkable Son of God, the Messiah of God. Show us a sign. We want another sign. We want more signs. But Jesus himself knew, even so early in his ministry, that signs are dangerous. Signs are confusing. Signs can be deceptive. An old farmer always called his hogs at feeding time by wrapping a stick on the feeding trough. And when he wrapped the stick on the feeding trough, the hogs would hear it and they would come for dinner. But the farmer noticed at one point that his hogs, despite how much he was feeding them, they were losing weight. And he couldn't understand why they would be losing weight. He was feeding them well. He called them every day to the feeding trough by striking the stick on the wood. Then one day he discovered the problem. A woodpecker had taken up residence in a tree next to the barnyard. And the woodpecker's tapping on the tree sounded very much like the farmer hitting the trough with the wood. So the pigs were getting an inordinate amount of exercise, running to the trough 8 or 10 times a day and finding nothing there, so they were losing weight. Signs can be deceptive. They can be difficult. They can be confusing. Not only for hogs at feeding time, but for you and me too, signs can be confusing. This is the problem that the people of Israel were having with Jesus, and it's a problem that we have today. They were constantly looking for signs. When they came to Jesus to follow him, to talk with him, to listen to him, they wanted a sign. They wanted to see something to show them who he was and what he was all about. The problem was that those people in Jesus' day had a difficult time discerning the difference between the sound of the farmer calling for food and the sound of a woodpecker on the tree. So it is with people who rely on signs and miracles rather than on the word of God. Because signs can be confusing. Signs can be difficult. They can be hard to read. In one of her books, a book called Life in the Spirit, Mother Teresa writes the following. The spiritual poverty of the Western world is much greater than the physical poverty of the third world. You in the West have millions of people who suffer such terrible loneliness and emptiness. They feel unwanted and unloved. Those people are not hungry in a physical sense, but they are in another way. They know they need something more than money, yet they don't know what it is. What they are hungry for is a living relationship with God. Hungry for a living relationship with God, a relationship that Jesus tells us is as available to us as the bread that we eat. And yet, we are continually looking outside of ourselves for signs. I hear it every day. You stub your toe on the way to the kitchen in the morning and you moan, it's going to be a bad day. It's a sign, you see. It rains on the day of a wedding and someone inevitably will say, this marriage is going to have problems. We attach significance to events which in reality have no significance. We think it's the call of the farmer when it's only a woodpecker on a tree. And we wonder why the trough of our lives is so empty. I have to tell you what inspired these thoughts in me this week. I was listening to the news early in the week, and there, as you know, was the story of a young boy who was killed in a shooting in Harrisburg. It was an unimaginable tragedy, a senseless and unnecessary loss. In the copious news coverage that story received and is still receiving, one person said, I don't understand this. I quote, I don't understand this. I know it is part of God's plan and that there is a purpose in this. I just don't understand what that purpose is. But my friends, there is no purpose in such things. That's the tragedy of it. There is no purpose in it. And there is no God whom we worship who makes such plans as that. Haven't you ever heard of sin? Sin is that which is contrary to God's plan and does violence to God's purpose. But we want to make everything into a sign. We're always seeking a sign when we look for what God is doing in our world and in us. But those things are not signs, my friend. And to see them as signs is not faith. It is superstition. Jesus had performed an extraordinary miracle, the feeding of 5,000. You would think that that would be enough to convince people that he was the one they'd been waiting for. But it was not enough. That's why God is not in the business of revealing himself in signs and wonders, because they are never enough. We always want another one. We're always seeking for more. We find ways to overlook even the most dramatic evidence that God is real and that God loves us and that God is active in our world. The rising of the sun each morning, the gentle opening of the flowers in the springtime, the birth of a child. Those things ought to be evidence enough for anyone to understand that God is real, that God is alive, that God cares for us. But we clamor for more. We're always looking for more. This sign is not enough. We need another one. That's what happened to Jesus in his day, and we still do the same thing. They wanted a sign that he was the Messiah. What miraculous sign will you give us, they asked him, that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert. That's the sign that was given in Moses' day. And it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. It's not that there aren't any signs. There are plenty of signs, but they're confusing. They're difficult. They're hard to read. They often mislead us, not because the signs are bad, but because our reading is bad. And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread." You see how confusing the signs were. "It is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives himself to the world and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." And he responded again. And Jesus repeats himself over and over in the sixth chapter of John. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. She who believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." What does that mean? It means that faith in Christ does not depend upon signs and miracles, but on Jesus himself. Faith in Christ is an inner assurance that whatever comes, God is with us. For he is the bread of life, the true and living bread. And what do you do with bread? You take it into yourself. And there is where the faith is nourished. There is where the faith comes from, within, not from external signs and wonders, but from within. I've heard people say sometimes, "I wish I could have lived in the first century and witnessed for myself the work of Jesus and actually seen him face to face." The implication of that desire is that belief in Jesus would somehow be easier if you could stand face to face with him and choose him for yourself. But if that were the case, why did not more people then choose to follow Jesus? Our problem is not that we don't have enough evidence to convince us that Jesus is Savior of the world. Our problem is that Jesus and his teaching can be difficult and demanding for us here and now. We do not choose to believe in Jesus based on certain proofs and arguments and signs and miracles. Jesus is the one who comes to us, who chooses us, who speaks to us, who calls us, who reveals himself to us. That's why you're here this morning, I would wager. It is not because you did a study of all the world's alleged saviors and decided that Jesus had the most to offer. It is not that you assembled all the evidence and the historical data and it added up to Jesus. It is rather that Jesus in some way has come to you, has spoken to you, has called you to be his disciples, and here you are. Just like this scripture today, Jesus keeps talking to his disciples, keeps working with his disciples, keeps speaking and revealing himself to them, even when they don't understand everything about them, even when the signs about him are confusing. But understanding isn't the issue. The issue is to keep trying to love Jesus, keep trying to follow him, keep trying to feed on him, continue savoring and enjoying him as if you were feeding on the bread of life. Cassie Bernal was a 17-year-old high school student. She was a senior, about ready to graduate. But she happened to be that year not only a senior, but a student at Columbine High School. And she was killed in the worst shooting disaster in school, United States high school history. The Denver Rocky Mountain News wrote this: "People around the world know Cassie as the Columbine student who died confessing her faith. Her killer asked her if she believed in God. She told him that she did, and then she died." What if you were Cassie's family? Could you handle that and still believe in a loving God? Well, if you're looking for signs of God's love, And if you see everything that goes on about you and all the events of the world as signs, there's no way that you could continue after that to embrace God as a loving and caring presence. But it wasn't a sign. It was a horrible tragedy. It was an unspeakable loss. And those parents continued their faith in God and their faithful Christian walk because they understood that their daughter's death was not a sign from God of God's ineffectiveness or God's disfavor. Do you remember the great tennis star Arthur Ashe? I had the privilege of having lunch with Arthur Ashe one day when he was in Harrisburg. There were a great number of us in the room, and I happened to be fortunate enough to sit next to him. And I learned a number of things that day, but the thing that I learned most was that Arthur Ashe, despite his fame and his skill on the tennis court, Arthur Ashe was a gentle and humble man, very kind and self-effacing. If you remember Arthur Ashe, you also remember that not only was he a great tennis player, but he suffered from the dreaded disease AIDS. He acquired the HIV infection through a blood transfusion as he underwent open heart surgery at one point in his life. But somehow, even though his illness required that he give up his beloved game of tennis and that shortly thereafter he died of that disease, Arthur Ashe said that he resisted the temptation to be angry at God. Who could have blamed him if he had been? In 1992, not long before his death, he addressed the students at Niagara County Community College and testified there that despite having the disease, his trust in God was firm. He knew that regardless of the outcome, God would remain with him in his ordeal. You see, Arthur Ashe knew, as many of you know, that the assurance of faith, the strength of our faith in Christ, comes from within. That it is a result of this living bread that we take into ourselves that lives within us. It wasn't a sign. His disease and his death were not a sign from God. They were a terrible tragedy and a horrible circumstance. One that grieved God's heart as much as they grieved anyone's. Is your faith that strong and that sure? Could you, despite such tragedy, remain hopeful and confident in God? So often, we are insecure about God's love for us. Oh, if things are going well, if the children are healthy, if the house payment is made, if things are going well on the job, then yes, God is with us and all is well. But let sickness come, or financial adversity, or an attack of the blues for any reason, and then we begin to doubt, because we tend to see everything that's going on around us as a sign of God's favor, a sign of God's love, a sign of God's disfavor. We're always looking for a sign. Is God real? Is God truly with me? The assurance comes from within, from that living bread that we take into ourselves, not from external signs and wonders. Do you remember the name Corrie Ten Boom? She's very well known in our culture. And she not only survived the Nazi death camps of the 1930s and 40s, but she wrote about it. She was arrested for sheltering Jews in her native Holland and transported to a death camp in Germany. She was subjected there to all manner of humiliation and torture. She watched her sister die in the death camp. And yet later on, Corrie Ten Boom would write, "However deep the pit, God's love is deeper still. However deep the pit, God's love is deeper still." She was able to write that, to see and understand that, because she knew that all the things happening around her were not signs from God, but rather the sign of God's favor and God's love was within her, the assurance of faith within, for she had partaken of that living bread that is Christ Jesus. That's faith. Not dependent on external circumstances, but dependent on internal assurance. Christian faith is rooted in God's love. In today's gospel, it's interesting, we encounter one of Jesus' hard sayings. You know, there are many hard things that Jesus says, difficult things for us. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. That's tough. That's hard. Or, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. That's pretty tough too. But the toughest one is, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Those are difficult things. Those are hard things to comprehend and to do. But in today's gospel, though Jesus doesn't demand anything of us, it's one of his hardest sayings. He makes a promise. He tells us that He is the bread that comes down from heaven. He is the bread that will satisfy all our longings. And if we feed on Him, then we will be satisfied not only today, but forever. Isn't it ironic that it is the promise of Jesus that confronts us here rather than any of His demands or His commands? And that promise is so difficult for us. Jesus promises us that He is the remedy for our deepest hungers, that we are to feed on Him and be filled, that He is more to us than food and drink. He is the source of our very lives. Don't be confused by the woodpeckers. Don't let the signs all around you confuse you. They are difficult. There are signs everywhere, but they can be confusing. They are difficult. Listen to that inner voice, that presence of Christ that you have taken into yourself, for you have partaken of the living bread. Don't be confused by the woodpeckers. The living bread is already within you, the answer to our spiritual poverty. Better than any sign or miracle lives within, that assurance that God speaks through Christ to a heart that is open and willing to serve. Amen.